Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the second part of the French Connection. Today's Friday edition. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and of course, we are coming to you from central France and from California with my guest today. Her name is Dr. Lorraine Day. Some of you have probably already familiar with Dr. Day's work. She is a cancer survivor and a researcher in curing common diseases that many of us suffer with and get treated for through doctors that have over time been proven to be a very bad way of getting rid of disease, but many other things as well. She's found her way to the truth that many of you listeners are aware of as well. So we've got lots to talk about with Dr. Day today. And Lorraine Day, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful to have you here on the French Connection.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, one of the first things I want to talk about is what we talked about today about nutrition. I mean, this is a little departure for the French Connection, but I have a lot of experience in this area. And one of the things that we talked about today was how processed foods are really a disease-causing way to nourish yourself. And I mean, they're putting aspartame in, they're putting in MSG, and then a lot of foods are cooking out the quality things, over-salting, over-sugaring. In other words, the food is virtually without value, and this is about 40% of the American diet these days.
Well, it's more sinister than that. This is a plan to destroy the population. It is not just, you know, people aren't eating so good these days.
Lorraine, we're losing you. Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not, but I am on a mobile, but I'll get on a landline.
The question that I asked was about nutrition, and I want to just restate it. You know, we are destroying the quality of our food through the processing of, you know, this mass-marketed junk garbage that that most of us are consuming today. And you just mentioned that there's something quite sinister about the way this stuff is being presented.
Well, that's right. It's a plan to depopulate the earth. There are many things that the New World Order and the Illuminati are doing to destroy the population. One of them, of course, is abortion. Another is euthanasia. Another is the spreading of disease all over the world, as well as, and these are man-made diseases, many of them. And the other thing is the destruction of the food supply. Now, they're going to destroy a lot of the food supply because mad cow disease is really rampant in most countries in the world, and they're going to destroy the cows, and the cows are dangerous, and the sheep are dangerous. The birds are not dangerous, however. They're talking about bird flu, and they're going to destroy huge amounts of turkeys and chickens and other birds that people eat. But they are also degenerating the regular food supply. Now, this does several things. Number one, it increases the incidence of disease, which causes people to go to doctors and take drugs, which feed the billions to the pharmaceutical companies and the medical industrial complex. Plus, it shortens the life expectancy the way people are eating. And thirdly, it causes young children to go into puberty at a much earlier age, and then little girls get exposed to estrogen longer, and little boys get exposed to testosterone longer since they enter puberty, actually now about 9 to 10 years earlier than they did a century ago, at least in America. And this is causing a huge increase in prostate cancer and breast cancer. So it has many sinister parts of the plan. And so the other thing is that when people eat a lot of meat and flesh foods, it actually, arachidonic acid in meat suppresses the frontal lobe so people can't make proper judgments. So it's not just the aspartame or NutraSweet that's in food and the MSG that are causing brain tumors and cancer and neurologic diseases, but it is making people dumb down so they can't understand it. And of course, then they're putting fluoride in the water. And fluoride is a major component of many anesthetics. It causes you to be docile, it dumbs you down, and it decreases the sperm count in men. So it increases infertility, which also leads to decreases in the population.
You know, Lorraine, I got something to add to that. I remember way back when I was in college, everyone in my group knew you didn't eat meat before a big test.
Right.
Now we at the time, I wasn't a biochemist major. I was a business major. But the fact was, everyone had a thing that, you know, don't eat meat. And I remember talking to somebody. I said, well, why? They said, you just don't.
Yeah.
And they said, it makes you sluggish.
Well,
and
the answer is what one of the things I just told you.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, we know today what they're feeding animals. They're giving them hormone shots to make them grow faster and be fattier. And they're also using the same animal over and over again. They're feeding it other animals rather than natural diets.
Right.
The chickens. Here in France, you know, bio foods are against the law where I live. We don't have bio-generated food here. It's against French law. So when you go to the store here, Lorraine, the chicken breasts are small. They're regular sized.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the size I remember them when I was a young man, and I'm almost 50.
Right.
Today, when you go to an American grocery store for a chicken breast, it looks like a turkey breast.
Right. They could only have two of them in the case because they're so huge, huh?
Well, you think you're getting turkey. And I remember when I went there, I said, what is this, turkey? And I read the thing, it said chicken. I said,
right.
Holy smokes.
Right.
Well, it dawned on me some time ago that a lot of these animals are also eating what is called a modified soy diet.
Yes.
And soy produces estrogen of its own, doesn't it?
Soy is very dangerous. Very dangerous, yeah. We don't want to eat soy products, and yet, the mega farm production companies, which are the big corporations, are pushing soy on everyone.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And they even got it packaged as a health food.
That's right. Actually, in my workbook that goes along with the videos that I made on how I got well from advanced cancer without chemo, radiation, or mutilating surgery, I have several pages on the disadvantages and the outright negative effects of soy.
Well, you know, there's some other stuff that's just come to light and by some researchers that makes sense to me as well. Many deodorants people use have aluminum
right.
in it. And that goes right into your lymphatic system because they're located under the, you have lymph nodes under your arms. So, of course, you start absorbing high amounts of aluminum, and that can also go to the blood-brain barrier
right.
into your myelin sheath and cause all kinds of diseases, including prion-type diseases and even MS and other things, doesn't it?
Well, also in Alzheimer's, it contributes to Alzheimer's, and there's aluminum in some antacids, too, so you have to be very careful. People say they read labels, but I don't buy anything with a label on it. When you go, you can buy broccoli and cauliflower and nuts and seeds and all that. And they don't have labels on them because they don't need labels. So
that's right.
the better you eat, the healthier you'll be. And Alzheimer's does not have to occur. Alzheimer's is nothing but senile dementia, and it's caused by the way people are eating and living, including they're not drinking water. They're drinking too much alcohol and coffee and caffeinated soda and not enough water.
Well, you know, I just got done talking to Eric. I'm a big tea drinker, Lorraine. I like green teas and different kinds of natural teas, and that's an alternative because there are flavonoids and there are antioxidants in there that are naturally occurring. But you know, I talked to Jerry Gudetti, who has the ARC Institute, and she's a big promoter of these non-bio seeds. Now, what I've understood over time now from what's being written about bio-produced foods is that there are actual carcinogens being formed in certain foods such as corns and, I mean, basically once they turn these Frankenstein foods out on the public, they're not sure what they're going to do inside the human body anymore. I mean, we know what corn does over 1,000 years naturally, but once you've changed and put a different gene in it, it can cause sickness.
Actually, I think they probably do know what it causes, and I think they're happy because it will cause a lot of disease in people. And so we have to stick with as natural food as we can get and eat it in its natural form, and that's the best way to go.
Well, the biggest thing I want to let everybody know about right now is the third thing. I think this is not going to be an in-depth discussion on food, but microwaving food destroys vitamins. Now, people don't realize this. They think that when they get home and they might take a beautiful broccoli and some cauliflower and some nice stuff, and they stick it in their microwave, and they get it nice and piping hot, and what they've got is just cellulose fiber devoid of vitamins. Why? The microwaves actually destroy and break down the vitamin content, So they're eating cellulose. They're destroying the quality of the food, and that's not well known either.
That's exactly right, and I have some of that information in my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well. I have a whole section on microwaving food with all the references for it.
Well, you know, so these are basic things that people can make changes about immediately, and that's why I wanted to bring them up at the beginning of this.
Okay.
Next subject I'd like to talk to you about, Lorraine, you know, you've been working in this community for a while, as I have. Actually, I believe it or not, I've only been investigating all of the stuff we talk about for 13 months, and that's it. I was a neophyte just 13 months ago, and what dawned on me and dawned on Eric is we were able to come to the final conclusion of who was responsible for this mess. World criminal Jewry and Zionism was what we discovered. And that's where all of the research went to. Now, when you look at other patriots who've been in this for 5, 6, 12 years in Alex Jones' case, many, many people in that level of 5 and 6 years, and they are nowhere near the truth. Eric and I asked ourselves, is that by design? And we came to the conclusion based on what was being written by these people that, yes, in many cases it is by design. These folks don't want you near the truth, and that's why they've never been near it.
Well, that's right. There are plenty of people who tell 80 to 90% of truth and never lead you to the last 10 or 20%. And so, therefore, you're hanging out there and you don't know what's really going on until you understand who is behind it all. And as you said, it's international Zionism, whether it's Jewish Zionism or Christian Zionism, and they're both working together. Really, the Christian Zionists do not understand that they're playing right into the hands of the Jewish Zionists, but that's who is behind this whole plan.
Well, if you end up spending some time on our site, you'll learn about the Sabaeans and the Lurians and all of the rest of it. And most of the listeners that are going to be hearing this know the story. But what they don't know is that within certain groups that you've dealt with, and we've dealt with, I was at Genesis for a long time, also at RBN, is that there are groups within these broadcasting companies that will always talk in these very nebulous terms, these rather amorphous types of descriptions like the New World Order, but they never tell you who that is. Or they'll say the Illuminati, and Eric and I even made a joke, we called them the Aluminum Nazis, because nobody ever says who they are. When we started actually saying who they were, Lorraine, people flipped out. They did not want us saying who it was, naming names and putting the finger on the people that were doing it. And boy, as soon as we changed it from the Illuminati to, okay, the people involved were this, and this person, bingo, we got in some hot water.
That's right. Well, that's right. You can use general terms and nobody cares too much, but when you start naming names, as I have named on my website, I have a health website at www.drday.com, and then I have a political and religious website at www.goodnewsaboutgod.com, and I show, again, I name names when I talk about who is behind the political dalliances that are going on, including the hoax of bird flu and many other hoaxes, the hoax of SARS and the hoax of 9/11 and the hoax of everything else.
Well, you know, the bird flu, we can talk about that because France is experiencing this bird flu right now. And here's the awful thing. I know that it was a designed problem, and I know that it's been managed by these people. And here's the interesting thing that I've come to. The people that are going to be devastated by this, and I got to be honest with you, I've interviewed Henry Nyman more than anyone, anywhere. And some time ago, I came to the realization that Henry was not about fixing this problem. He was about propagating the fear. And so what I did is I left Henry sitting on the side of the road, and I moved into what I thought was a more rational thing. Now, what I've come to conclude here is the group that's going to get the tar kicked out of them is the farmers, because I live in a farm area, Lorraine, and the farmers are the ones that are taking it in the teeth over here. And there are birds dying, and I think it's a designed situation, and I think it's an attack on the food supply. France has 43 countries already rejecting their poultry. This is killing the local farmer. And you know what? Over here, farmers don't make a whole heck of a lot. And once they go belly up, where's the food going to come from?
Well, first of all, there is no such thing as human bird flu. People
right.
need to know that. There's
That's
no
right.
such thing. If you go on my website, either one, you can get a link to the hoax of bird flu. And I show right from the Centers for Disease Control, which is the highest public health organization, governmental organization in America, plus the World Health Organization. Now, the World Health Organization, of course, is only the euthanasia arm of the United Nations. Their plan is to kill billions of people. People think it's the plan of the World Health Organization to have people healthy around the world, but it is not. And so I show from their websites what they say are the symptoms of bird flu are just the symptoms of regular flu.
Yeah.
Nobody can show that it's any different.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a planned thing where they're going to terrorize everyone into getting vaccinations.
Yeah.
Vaccinations neither work nor are they safe. And they're going to be filling them with viruses and carcinogens, cancer-causing substances, which they're already filled with, and they're going to be giving them to everybody. They'll get their pandemic all right. The World Health Organization and various the United Nations and America and the Israeli Mossad and all of these people that are involved in this, they're going to get their pandemic, but they're going to do it by frightening people into taking vaccinations that will give them these various diseases.
I think you're right. And at the same time, what they're doing, again, and I'm going to bring it up again, is killing a food supply. Now, over here, for example, right now, this guy woke up one morning, he's got 50,000 birds, 500 are dead, and many more sick. Now, of course, bird flu does kill birds, and the fact is it is a virulent form between birds specifically. But here's the interesting thing. It exploded on the scene in Europe and Turkey and Italy and Spain and Germany all within a couple of days. That is very suspicious,
right,
to me.
Right, of course. It's not that one bird is giving it to another bird. It is a planned destruction of these flocks by people in high places whose
yep.
agents are going in and infecting these flocks.
I think you're right. I think you're right, because it was suspicious. And there was a scientist in India who thought it was very odd, and he actually called them on it. And I haven't seen a follow-up on his research, but he's raising some very serious questions about the timing of this and how it was introduced into his region.
Well, on my website, about a year or two ago, I talked about SARS, showing that SARS is not a disease. Now, for your listeners, I am an orthodox medical doctor. I was on the faculty of a major medical school for many, many years in California, University of California, San Francisco. And I know from a medical viewpoint that SARS is a manufactured hoax, and it did not move around fast enough, so they had to make it SARS with wings, and that's when they came up with bird flu.
Yeah.
And bird flu is nothing more than SARS with wings, so they can try to move it around from country to country and blame it on birds.
Well, and so what we've got here is we've got fear being instilled, we've got vaccines coming online for everybody, and we've got a destruction of our food supply. And as you stated before, red meats being already infected with prion disease, or this disease from feeding them their own animals, which is a sickness in itself. And then, I mean, come on, it's a cow. It eats grass. I mean, what do you mean?
Well, see, cows eat grass and sheep eat grass. And what they're doing is you have to see, cows got mad cow disease by eating sheep that were infected with scrapie.
That's right, scrapie.
Is mad sheep disease. But then
yeah.
you have to say, how did the sheep get mad sheep disease? Well, the answer is because they were taking vegetarian animals and grinding up roadkill and the dead animals from pounds that were, you know, that were from animal care centers.
Because scrapies was in the deer population for generations, wasn't it?
Not that I know of. It was the deer population was starting to eat the food that was put out for the domesticated animals.
Okay.
And that's how that happened. So that was a purposeful thing. They would put it out in places where deer and other kinds of game could come and eat it, and that's how it got there. So it's because they were taking vegetarian animals and feeding them meat. which is other dead animals. And that's undoubtedly how the sheep got scrapie. You can't take a vegetarian animal and feed it animal products and have it be healthy.
That's right. And well, so, I mean, omnivores and herbivores are different digestive systems, and they get their vitamins in a different way. That's right.
That's correct. And so that's how it started, and it was done by the greed of the same corporate owners, and you can go back, and they're the same people that are doing all of the other things.
Yeah.
In America, these...
Cargill.
All the food growing land is owned by about three corporations.
That's right. Cargill, Monsanto, some of the other...
Archer
Daniels Midland, you bet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so what we've arrived at here, we've got other things on our horizon as well that seem to be all working together. One of them that I want to talk about now kind of goes in with this, this poisoning idea. It's the depleted uranium. Now, we figured out some time ago, the nuclear industry figured out some time ago, they needed to get rid of their waste from their fuel rods. So rather than disposing of them in any rational way, we decided to put them into military shells that could end up poisoning our planet for 4 billion years and give our troops illnesses and deformities, and then... recently, four times the normal level of radiation detected in Britain as a result of this worldwide contamination from now. How could this benefit the global elite, these Zionists? They're going to get sick from this too, aren't they?
That's right, but they're very short-sighted. When you become that evil, you become very short-sighted. They somehow think that they can escape someplace until this... They have enough science to turn this around, but they don't realize that they're going to be caught in their own net. When you become very evil, you also become very stupid. And that's what they become. They think that they can handle this, but it's going to get out of control.
Well, hubris is always the downfall of the elites.
That's right.
And, well, now we're in a situation right now where the American public, in some ways, is waking up to the fact that they've been lied to by their government, but yet we still don't get anybody moving in any powerful way against them. And I'm wondering, do you believe that that's largely because of the dumbing down of the population?
Well, the population is not only dumbed down, but they're having to work hard just to stay even.
Yeah.
You know, people, the inflation rate is going up, and the currency is being debased, and so people just have to work hard. And there are so many issues that if people were out being an activist on these issues, there wouldn't be enough hours in the day to eat and sleep. So what they have a tendency to do is just say, well, I can't do anything about it, and so they give up. And that's exactly what Zionists want people to think. But there is a way you can learn how to take care of your family. First, you can increase your immune system's ability to fight disease, which they're going to be planting all over America and around the world. And the only way to counteract that is to eat right and live right, learn to handle your stress, drink your water, get the bad things out of your diet and out of your mind. Don't sit around and watch television, which will dumb you down and decrease your ability to discern truth. And so there are things you can do in your own life and in your family's life to protect yourself. You may not be able, certainly we can't change Congress in the United States. When I was speaking out on the AIDS issue years ago, I was invited to some congressional hearings and to OSHA, which is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, because I had operated on arguably more AIDS patients than any surgeon in the country because I was in San Francisco. And I realized right off the bat that these congressmen had been bought and that they had a different agenda and that there was no way we were going to get the proper legislation passed to handle AIDS as a communicable disease rather than as a political issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home and I spent a lot of time on the radio helping people understand what they needed to do to protect themselves. So there is something that we can do, and that is to talk to the common people who want to know the truth and can do something to protect themselves and their family. We can tell them that this train is coming down the track, and we can help them get off the track.
I agree with that. And one of the things that I do know about AIDS was that it was the first race-specific virus introduced into the world. And still to this day, about 75 to 80% of the deaths are in the African community or African American or black community. And this continent of Africa is actually being murdered wholesale. There's a genocide going on out there.
Right. It was introduced into the continent of Africa in order to destroy the population there so this group could take over all the natural resources of of Africa, have them all to themselves without doing a nuclear bomb down there and destroying all of the environment. So they want to kill the people. But it was also implanted in the homosexual population because they knew that homosexuals' promiscuous lifestyle would cause this to spread indiscriminately. And, of course, then it got into the general population. Now it's a huge issue. But, you see, the medical industrial complex also thrives on this. Why try to cure it when you can keep people sick for a long time? Just keep them alive longer so they have to take very expensive medicines. And that's what the medical industrial complex is doing.
Well, I've seen firsthand evidence of exactly what you just described, but I do want to say AIDS to me, and from what I've understood in my reading, is not just one disease. It's actually a host of symptomatic diseases, and AIDS itself is like a final stage of an immune response that the body is not properly processing. And so basically, any single attack on this virus usually is fruitless because it's actually a myriad of different viruses. Am I wrong?
Well, actually, what AIDS is, the word, the acronym is Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome. It just means that your immune system is not working properly, but you weren't born with it that way. You acquired it. Cancer is exactly the same thing. It's an acquired immune deficiency syndrome. When you develop cancer, it doesn't fall from the sky and grab your body. It's because you haven't been eating and living correctly. All disease is caused by three factors: malnutrition, dehydration, and stress. Malnutrition, people are eating plenty of food, but they're not eating the proper foods that will nourish their body.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating a lot of extra things that make them fat and destroy their immune system.
And they're also providing themselves with an acid environment, aren't they?
Well, that's right. But if you eat a diet of fruits, grains, and vegetables, and you drink your water, you will have the normal pH of your blood. You don't have to try to adjust it by taking certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But people are drinking, as I said before, lots of soda, which has caffeine and phosphorus and all of these things in it, and sugar or NutraSweet. This is very destructive to the body. They're drinking coffee. They're drinking lots of alcohol or even some alcohol. Alcohol destroys brain cells and it destroys liver cells. And then, of course, stress. Now, the homosexual community is having lots of promiscuous sex. I'll tell you, I know firsthand because I took care of thousands of them. Lots and lots of promiscuous sex and lots of drugs. This is very destructive to the body. But when people eat wrong and live wrong, that's also very destructive to the body. So in order to be healthy, people have to give up all the things they're doing that are destructive to their bodies. So all disease is caused by an immune system that is not working properly because of these three factors.
Are there some components of genetics involved where people's predisposition can
happen? Almost none. There are a very few diseases that are genetic. Very, very few. Cancer is not one of them. Cancer is passed down in families, all right, but not in the genes. Great-grandmother teaches grandmother how to eat, live, and handle stress. Grandmother teaches mother. Mother teaches daughter. All you have to do to change that pattern is don't eat and live like your family did before you. And so that we can prove that. If you look at Japanese women who are in their 60s and 70s, they have a very low incidence of breast cancer because they have a different kind of life than we do in America, and they eat mainly vegetables, rice, and maybe a little bit of meat or fish. You take those same Japanese women and you bring them to America, and they, in a few years, will have the same incidence of breast cancer as American women because they are living a stressful life and they're eating the rich Western diet.
Well,
so
it's not
in the genes.
I can tell you from my family here, Lorraine, that they all live into their 90s and even 100. And my next-door neighbor, when I lived in Lyon, was 103. My neighbor downstairs was 97. And my father-in-law is in his late 80s. And the fact is, all of them, every day, take a two-hour lunch. They always have. And they have a glass of wine with lunch and a glass of wine with dinner. And they have a nightcap. And they do this. I don't see drunkenness in this country, believe it or not. Only the young people. But the adult population drinks alcohol every day in very moderate ways. And they live to be ancient.
Well, let me tell you this. As we talked about earlier on the phone, I am not a proponent of alcohol because nobody can become an alcoholic unless they take a drink. And alcohol is destructive to brain cells and liver cells. But what these people who are 100 years old now, when they were young, there was no fast food. They didn't drink huge amounts of coffee from Starbucks that were, 32 ounces. They weren't drinking soda all the time with caffeine and NutraSweet. There weren't additives such as NutraSweet and MSG and fillers and preservatives. They ate natural. And even if they ate meat, it was the cow they had in their backyard. So they weren't getting all the hormones and the pesticides and the antibiotics and everything that they're putting in this corporate-grown food. And so the reason that they live as long as they have is because they started out in a much better milieu. But people who are in their 20s, 30s, and even 50s, they didn't start out that way. They started out, fast food came into being approximately big time 50 or 55 years ago, and it's gotten bigger and bigger ever since. People don't eat at home anymore. They're eating out all the time, and they're eating garbage for food.
Oh, I think you're right. And, I mean, in this community that I live in here, we still have, the open markets of France. I'm sure you visited
yes.
this country.
Yes.
Well, you still do that. You shop for your produce in your local square, town square. And on both sides of where I live, there is one on Tuesday behind me, and on the other town is one on Wednesday, and then one on Saturday. And you can get farmer-grown, neighbor-grown, even the eggs. Here's the funniest thing. Have you ever had an egg from a farmer whose neighbor, like your neighbor? Not one of these industrial eggs, but a real one.
Oh, yes.
They don't
but I don't even eat eggs anymore because
I got to tell you something.
Fat and protein.
They don't taste anything like what you get in the store.
True. Well, I'm old enough to know how eggs tasted 60 years ago.
They are just, it's like a taste treat. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And even the meats and everything else, it's just a completely different taste. But, that's an issue. I'd like to have you back and do a little more on that issue. But,
sure.
But what I do want to talk about, I'm really well-versed in nutrition, so we can really plumb these subjects really well, but I want to go on to what's going on with the Zionist control right now, and because my audience is very well aware of exactly who's doing this to us, and we've come to the conclusion that the only chance we've got at defeating them in the long term, and I don't think we're going to make a difference in the short term, but the long term is to make sure that enough well-meaning, well-informed people are carrying these truths forward so that the next generation can be truly well informed about the facts that we're discovering now, because they did a wonderful job, these criminals, of hiding these facts from us all. And for the first time, we're starting to really get some traction on how they did it and how it was all put together. And what we need to do is go forward with this so that when things need to be rebuilt, because they will, we're going to have the truth on our side. And we're going to be able to inform larger numbers of people. And so what is your take on how they're doing right now in America? I shared with you today about the Lubavitch connection to this and how Ari Fleischer's part of that group and how Chertoff and others. And even Dov Zolkheim, who's run away with $2 trillion American dollars over to Israel with it. But these people are in control of our government, and we've got crypto-Zionism across the nation. Have you experienced what crypto-Jews and crypto-Zionism are all about?
Well, yes. In fact, Zionists have invaded the entire American government, and the U.S. is a colony of Israel. There's no doubt about that. The Israeli Mossad and the Israeli government are using American men and women to go and fight and die to pursue the land of the Iraqis for Israel.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with democracy. Israel wants to expand what it calls its borders to the biblical borders. They want to go down to the river in Egypt, the Nile River,
mm-hmm.
take over all of Egypt, take over everything in the Middle East, what they call to the river Euphrates. Now, this, of course, is not for these people who are over there in Israel, because they are not the descendants of the Israelites. Israelites were just people. There's no such thing as a Jew. There's no such thing as a Jew. There is a culture of a Jew, but there's no ethnic Jew, because you can't trace it back. People say, well, Abraham was the father of the Jews. Well, Abraham wasn't a Jew. Isaac wasn't a Jew. Jacob and Esau weren't Jews. So where did they become Jews? They were Israelites, and then they were a people who lived in Judea, and then they have, the translators of the Bible have shortened that to Jew, but that is not a proper term. So there is a culture, a Jewish culture, which is the culture of the Talmud, which is the exact opposite of the Bible. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. The Talmud tells them to destroy and crush and torture their enemies. So it's a totally different doctrine. However, the Christian church in America has been commandeered by the Zionist Jews, and the evangelical group is really doing the dirty work for the Zionist Jews in America, and trying to get all Christians to go over to that side. So it's a terrible, terrible problem. And when you talk about the next generation, we just have to hope that there is a next generation, because there's going to be a real Holocaust of people who are dissidents, a Holocaust like we've never seen before.
Well, what do you see as a timeline here? I don't like making exact predictions, and I don't expect dates, but I do see that a lot of the elements to what you've just described, and by the way, I am in agreement with you on these facts, but I see that they're coming rather close to getting a lot of this this effort into focus right now. So there's not a whole lot of time, in my view.
Well, that's right. The detention camps are all set up all over America, and they're going to suggest that that's for the illegal immigrants or the Muslims or whatever, but it's not. It's for the dissidents. It's for people like you and me that they're building these detention camps. Secondly, they are going very rapidly to a cashless society, not only in America but around the world, and they're going to say it's for reasons of so they can't make bad money and counterfeit money, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is so they can control every transaction and eliminate your ability to buy and sell if you do not buy into the New World Order plan of the Zionist Jews. The third thing is they have picked up many of the main revisionists around the world and put them in prison. I am a close friend of Ernst Zundel and his wife Ingrid. I knew Ingrid many, many years ago, probably 18 years ago, long before she knew anything about revisionism and long before she met Ernst. So we've been friends for a long time, and they have picked up all of these people and put them in prison because the Holocaust, the story of the Holocaust, is the centerpiece of Zionism. Without that, they cannot get all of these huge sums of reparations from Germany, the billions of dollars of aid from America that Israel never pays back, and they need these billions of dollars to continue their war machine in Israel and to bring it back to America to bribe congressmen and senators, just like we have seen happen with, I think it's Cunningham. And recently, at an AIPAC meeting. AIPAC is a Jewish lobby, a Zionist Jewish lobby.
Yep.
50% of all the senators were at their dinner, and a third of all the congressmen. Now, this is virtually unheard of for that many legislators to attend a lobbying dinner. That just shows you they know who's running things. By the way, I don't know if you know it, but I am married to a former congressman, one of the only honest congressmen that ever existed in Washington.
Yeah.
His name is Bill Dannemeyer, and he did not participate in any of these things and is quite shocked at what is going on. But I can assure you that except for the congressmen and senators who have been bought, the others do not understand the depth of the control of the American government by Israel.
Well, do you see any movement in the country toward this truth? Because Eric and I, in our efforts, have seen a lot of people beginning to wake up to these facts. And as I described to you before we went on air today, that the fact that we could get 8,000 to 10,000 people to finally download this story, this is a remarkable amount of information and a remarkable number. Ten years ago, you couldn't get 8 people to hear this story. So my point being, do you see movement happening in the country and people demanding answers?
Well, I don't know that I see. I still, most of the people are content to be drones. They're content to sit on the couch, be couch to pay potatoes and turn on the television set. But I don't even look at it that way. My mission is to tell truth. And I will tell truth to anybody who will listen. And there are people who are listening. But whenever I never miss a trick when I go through a grocery store line and they ask me for my grocery store card. I don't know if you have those in France. But
yeah.
All the big chains, they have a grocery store card.
Fidelity card, yeah.
Yeah, where you get big discounts if you use your card. I don't use that card because I know what they're doing. They're tracking everything you're buying so they can withhold it from you when you don't go along with their plan. But when I go through the grocery store line, the clerk asks me for my card, and I say, I don't do that. And then they'll say, well, would you like to? I say, no, I don't do that. And so every once in a while, one will say to me, why? And I'll say, I know what they're doing with this. And then frequently they'll say, well, what? And I say, would you like more information? And so I just go one by one like that and try to tell as many people as I can, you're doing a wonderful thing with radio, and I'm going to start podcasting. And there are people who want to know. It doesn't matter how many, because if you're dedicated to telling the truth, you'll tell it even if there's only one who wants to listen.
Well, you know, I wish that were entirely my situation, but I do this on a family budget and use a lot of my food money to do it. And I have recently gotten help from some of my listeners, and that's been a big part of my success here because, to frankly, you know, doing these phone calls across the Atlantic for 10 hours a week, even with a phone plan, is not easy.
That's right.
And, but at the same time, if I didn't do this, what would the result be? And,
that's right.
And the simple fact is if I sat here doing nothing, I would just be gnawing inside.
Right. Well, truth tellers have to tell truth, and they'll find a way to do it.
Well, we're going to do it, and you know, we've made a big difference here, and they've come to my home. I had a bald headed guy with no neck and a very nasty face on him, and I've had people tell me they were going to add poisons in my food and all this other stuff, and that doesn't stop the message. The facts are, I'm wondering how much resistance you've been, how many roadblocks they've put in front of you for your efforts.
Oh, many, many. I have I have been hit with almost everything. Because I've been a truth teller in various areas for quite some time, starting back in 1987 when I started speaking out about the AIDS cover-up by our government. My life has been threatened by the government. I was threatened with death by the homosexual community because they didn't want AIDS to be handled as a public health issue. They wanted it to be political and to be covered up so they could continue with their lifestyle and infecting many other people. So they sent me AIDS-contaminated syringes and needles through the mail and said that they were going to track me all over the world as I spoke and inject me with AIDS blood in an elevator. They would picket me many, many times. I had for quite some time, I had to have all of my mail x-rayed because of the threats. When I even talking about the health issues, the AARP, which is the American Association of Retired Persons, which sounds harmless enough, but it's 30 million members, and it's really run by these same people that we're talking about, the Zionists at the highest level.
Yep.
They came out and trashed me, called me a snake oil salesman. And, of course, I thank them for that because, obviously, I'm making some inroads if an organization of 30 million members has to trash me. And so I said that they brought me to light to many of their members who wouldn't have known about me otherwise. And so, like actors say, you can say anything you want about me, just spell my name right. So that adverse publicity actually has gotten a lot of people turned on to how to get well by natural methods. So, I have been, if you look on my website, drday.com, you will see an area where it says Dr. Day responds to her critics. I have so many that there are still several that I haven't been able to respond to, but I have been banned from numerous radio stations. I used to be on Art Bell Radio a number of times, but when I put my information on 9/11 up there several years ago on my website, Good News About God, I was called by Art Bell's producer, who is Jewish, and Art Bell himself is Jewish, who has always been very kind to me, by the way, but his producer called and told me that I would never be on that show
again. Is this Lisa Lyons?
Yes.
Lisa Lyons called you?
No, it was a man.
Ah, okay.
His name I can't remember, but he called and said I would never be again on the Art Bell show unless I unlinked from what they termed this anti-Semitic website. Well, of course, you know, they use the word anti-Semitic to smear. Jews have virtually no Semitic blood in them. Arabs do. And the Israelis want to destroy the Arabs, so the Israelis turn out to be the most anti-Semitic group on the face of the earth.
Well, they are the hate mongers of our planet, and
right.
They have been for a millennia. And, well, here's the last thing I really want to discuss with you tonight before we call this particular show a wrap. You know, I've been doing this. Eric's been doing this. One of the things that I'd like you to maybe speak to, you've read Eric's book, I think, The Painful Questions.
Yes, well, I haven't read all of it. I've read a lot of it, and I certainly watched the DVD many times, yeah.
Eric and I, we got together on I guess he sensed that I was serious about doing this, and so is he. We've put this together on a shoestring, and we both we're committed to it. What kind of suggestion do you have for us to expand this message larger? What we're going to try to do, Lorraine, is I'm going to try to do some work with the Muslims in Malaysia. I've been in touch with Mahathir Mohamad's people, and he's one of the only world leaders that's had the courage to stand up to the Zionists, and we're going to be putting this on again, but I'm looking for other ways of bringing in. I'd like to get 20,000-30,000 people. Now that's not a huge audience when you're talking about 6 billion people, but it certainly would be enough to start making some real inroads into what they're doing.
Well, again, you know, I know my friend Ingrid Zundel has contacted some of the Muslim countries and has turned them on to revisionism, and they are making some inroads now. But again, I don't really spend time worrying about that. When I started speaking out about the AIDS epidemic, when I was telling truth, it turned out everybody came to my door. Including I was on virtually every national television show in America. I did no advertising. I had no PR person. But when you're telling truth, eventually people will start understanding that, and you will broaden your audience. When I wrote my book, AIDS, What the Government Isn't Telling You, I was told that if I formed my own publishing company and published the book myself, nobody would ever read it. Well, the average book in a bookstore sells about 10 or 15,000 over about a year and a half. My book, over a year and a half, sold over 100,000, became a bestseller, and it was never in one bookstore. So I think that if you just continue to tell truth, that the paths will open up. I don't do any advertising except on my website, and I've had, you know, 1.5 million or more hits on my website in recent times. And when you stick to the truth, you will get an audience. So I wouldn't worry about that. I just keep sticking with the truth, and it'll happen.
I think you're right, but we're trying to really rev up the numbers You know, it's considering that I told you, 13 months I've been in this game, Lorraine, and we're up to some pretty decent figures for such a new. I'm a neophyte to this, you know. However,
I've been around. I've got a lot of battle scars, and so I just keep moving on, and I don't worry. I understand that I have just been attacked very viciously today by a fairly well-known website, which I won't mention to give them the extra publicity, but I
well,
guess
but,
pretty
but
much to, trash today.
Yeah, but who was the person doing it?
I guess I haven't read it, but I guess Judy Andreas.
Well, okay. Now, let's talk about that because Judy Andreas has savaged me and did it just about 3 days ago on a website called What Really Happened, and you know did a job on me. But we've come out against her. She is working for the Zionists. It's very clear to Eric and I. We came out against her months ago. And she was trying to butter me up really, really big, trying to get, she says, oh, I love France, and can I be your friend? I mean, I was waiting for the bribe to come any minute.
Yeah.
And what we discovered, and Eric and I just said, yeah, okay, sure. But as it's turned out now, because she couldn't get me to take the bait, she decided that we were going to get trashed.
Right.
Now, I read the website, I read the passages she put out. Of course, it's a bunch of horse crap, and so we've both experienced this, Judy Andreas. We've both been I won't call victims because, as you say, any publicity is good publicity,
right.
Regardless. You know, just spell my name right.
Right.
However, I do want to ask your particular opinion because you did spend a great deal of time answering some of the rather spiritless claims she was making.
Well, people will turn their hand when they start doing that. She says she's not a Zionist Jew. She even says at times she's not a Jew. Well, of course she's a Jew. She says one time in one article she wrote she's a Jew, and then another place in the same article she says she's not a Jew. Well, that is terribly duplicitous, and people should tell who they are. But if you read the protocols of the Elders of Zion, you'll see that that's their plan. Their plan is to cover up, deceive, do whatever is necessary to draw people in and fool them. And so we just have to be very aware of what's going on. And when people don't tell the truth, eventually it will come out. They will trip up over and over again. The only way not to trip up is to always tell truth, and Judy Andreas is clearly not into telling truth.
Well, you're absolutely right, and her spider web of connections of bad people goes to Shemansky, goes to Greg Ziegler, goes to Deborah Simon, and all of them happen to be Jewish, and if you take a look at the site she posts on often, 7 out of 10 of the people posting there are Jewish. Now, that may not in itself be eye-opening to some listeners, but I got to tell you, they're 1-2% of the population. Why are they sitting at 70% of the writers?
Well,
are they the only
right.
people? Are these the only people interested in the truth?
Well, the thing is that they are spending. They're not interested in the truth.
No, they're not.
They're not interested in the truth.
No,
but they're interested in forming public opinion.
That's right.
And so they propagandize over and over and over, and they spend their time infiltrating and taking over various areas of the public trust, if you will.
That's
and
right.
And so again. A truth will win in the long run, because truth is truth. You know, if Judy Andreas tried to deny that her mother was her mother, she could deny till the cows come home. Her mother is her mother. Whoever gave birth to her is her mother.
That's right.
The truth will always eventually come out. That's why Zionists have to start putting people in prison, because they don't want truth to come out. That's why they had to start human rights tribunals in Canada for Ernst Zundel, because in a regular court of law, the truth was necessary, but in human rights tribunals, they say truth is no defense. So when you start out with something like that, where you can't face your accuser, where you can't cross-examine your accuser, when you can't even know the charges against you, then all rule of law has gone. And so that's what's happening in Canada. That's what's going to happen in America. George Bush is talking about having human rights tribunals. They're doing that so they can get around the truth.
That's right.
But again, if people are afraid, to tell truth, they want to be popular among their friends, or they want to make a big living, then they ought not to be in the business of truth telling, because it is a thankless job. But again, those of us who tell truth can't do anything else.
Well, you know, I'm with you on all of those statements, Lorraine. You know, you've been a wonderful guest. You've got lots of energy, and it's great to have somebody that I can go from subject to subject with, because you know what. I'm one of these Renaissance guys. I know a lot about a lot of stuff, so we could just pepper the airwaves with all kinds of information. It was great, and I will invite you back soon when you've got some time.
Well, thank you.
And I want you to go to the website, and if you feel it's up to your standards, I'd like to put your site on ours. There'll be a link to your name that'll bring the people right over to your website.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and it's been a real pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks again, and we'll be in touch.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, that was quite the interview. I got to say, I'm very happy to have spoken with Lorraine Day, Dr. Day. All kinds of subjects touched on, all kinds of truths revealed. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I want to thank you for listening to The French Connection. We are finishing another week of great broadcasts and informational sessions. I hope you can go out and share this information with as many people as you can find that will listen to you. Just keep up fighting, guys. Get this stuff out into circulation, chat rooms, message boards, friends and neighbors. Until next week, Daryl Bradford Smith. See you then.